Beloved of God, grace to you and peace this day from God our Maker and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel text is a Puget Sound kind of story. It's about water and boats and images that are very familiar to those of us who live around here. If you've ever been out on a boat other than a ferry, if you've ever been out on a smaller boat in the midst of a storm, you know what a hair-raising experience it can be. It must have been just that on the Sea of Galilee that day, judging by the disciples' reaction. Some of these were career fishermen, after all. Peter and Andrew, James and John. They depended on the wind and the water for their livelihood. I picture them looking like real sea dogs, you know, with the beard and the brawny muscles and the leathery skin and the calloused hands that smell like the catch of the day. Yet the storm brought them to their knees. It was beyond their ability to navigate. So they cried out in fear and anguish, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" This is another one of those texts that reminds me that ancient people were not schooled in clear eye messages. "I am afraid, Jesus. I would like you to wake up. I would be more comfortable." They just go right for the guilt button, don't they? "We're dying here. Can you wake up?" That caught Jesus' attention, even more, I think, than the storm did. That caught their attention. With three syllables, he put the sea to sleep. "Peace, be still." What bothered him was the underdeveloped faith of his disciples. "Have you still no faith?" It wasn't a casual comment, like something you say to a friend when you're trying to get them to go on a scary ride at the fair. "Oh, come on, have faith." It was much deeper than that. They were his inner circle, after all. He had called them by name. He had given them special authority. They had been privy to all of his teaching, even that which the public didn't hear. They had heard his preaching. They had seen him enacting the reign of God through miraculous deeds. They trusted him on some level, or they wouldn't have been part of his ministry. But they didn't trust him with their lives. I'm sure it was a sobering moment when their lack of trust was so starkly exposed. Now, there are times in these Gospels that I admit the disciples strike me as kind of some chuckleheads. They never understand. They never have the courage to do the right thing. But in this moment of the story, I find great empathy for them. I know what it's like to be afraid, as I'm sure that you do. We may not have been literally tossed about on the sea, but we've been tossed about by the storms of life. We know what's out there, the sea monsters that lurk and threaten our little boat. We've seen loved ones ravaged by disease. We know that accidents and natural disasters occur with enough frequency to remind us continually that life is not a tame, safe experience. It can break your heart. And we know the power of fear itself, not just the events that happen, but our fear of what may happen. We know what it's like to wake up in the night in the grip of anxiety. We want to trust God with our very life, but we know the power of the storm. And we know that Jesus isn't some magic charm that we shove in our pocket to keep us from suffering. That's not the way it works. So how are we not to be afraid? How do we trust God the way that God desires to be trusted? I think the gospel story is helpful with this. And it works on at least two levels, I think. First of all, it calls us to trust God on a personal day-to-day level and reminds us that this trust is not rooted in some belief that we will have a storm-free life. I don't know. I wonder if people who are so privileged as we are and have so much control, if we don't somehow think that by our own wits and our own planning and our own intelligence and our own good fortune, that we can somehow keep all storms at bay. And it seems the more that we grasp for this, the more that security and peace kind of slips through our fingers. There are storms in life. The promise isn't that there will be no storms. Paul is clear about this in that second reading that Jim read for us. He lists off all of the things that he and his fellow apostles encountered. Affliction, hardship, calamity, beatings, imprisonment, riots, hunger, sleepless nights. Yet through it all, they were sustained by spiritual things like patience, kindness, genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God. Paul's list goes on. We are treated as those who are dying, Paul wrote, and yet we are alive. As those who are punished, yet we are not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Paul knew what it was to be sustained by spiritual gifts from God and by the promises of God. Like Paul, our trust is rooted in the promise that we will be sustained in the midst of the storm, that God will be in our boat, to borrow the image from the text. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us, providing us grace sufficient for each day, patience that we need for each day, courage that we need for each day, love that we need for each day. It's like the manna story, isn't it? You don't get it all at once. You get what you need for that day, and you trust every morning that it will be there for you again. These spiritual gifts have the power to sustain us when the storm rages, as does the community into which we have been baptized. I was thinking about little Dylan here, who will be baptized in just a few minutes. He will receive so many gifts in baptism in this holy sacrament. One of them is the gift of community, the gift of being brought into the church, the people of God who will travel with him throughout the ups and downs of his life, whether it's here at St. Mark's or wherever he lands in his life. One of the really edifying things of being a pastor is the way that I see you caring for one another. I see the meals that are cooked and brought to people. I see the cards that are at people's bedside when they're struggling with ill health. I hear the prayers that are prayed for each other. The way that you care for one another is one of the ways that we are sustained by God in times of need. It's no surprise that when the World Council of Churches met during the dark days of World War II, they decided to use the image of a boat for the church. The mast was the cross. This promise that they were being sustained in those dark times and that the church would be sustained in the storms of life is a promise that we cling to even today. This story invites us to trust God with our very lives. And it calls us to trust God on an even more expansive scale. It calls us to a cosmic kind of trust in God. When Jesus silenced the storm, his disciples were in awe. They too were silenced. They had seen his power, but not exercised on this kind of scale. God has authority over all of creation, not only the church, not only human beings, but the entire universe. And God's plan for redemption and healing involves the entire universe. Scripture points to a time when God will bring forth the new creation fully and finally, when God will call out, "Peace be still," and all the forces of sin and evil, disease and despair will be silenced. They will have no more power. There will be no more storms and no more need for a boat. We trust that God will fulfill this promise in the fullness of time and that we will be part of it. Until that time, we pray each day that the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.